those eyewitness accounts. And as it was shown to him through those eyewitnesses and, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and now Acts continues what he began. He talked about in the gospel what Jesus began to do and to teach, and Acts continues that now as the work of Jesus. His work and his teachings continue through his apostles and his churches. And so Acts 1, verse 1, if you're able, let's stand together. And tonight we're going to read down through verse 11 and try to learn about the promise of power. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have together. And Father, again, we pray that you've been glorified in the worship. And we pray that you'll help us in this time of preaching. Please bless your word to bear fruit in our lives to your glory. I pray that you help me to preach according to the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth as you guide us into that truth through your Spirit. And please bless, Lord, that we can be changed through your word and through your Spirit, Lord. And Father, help us to be real disciples, making disciples for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So I mentioned that this morning that the book of Acts is named Acts from the Greek word praxis. It's the actions of the early church. Some would name it the Acts of the Apostles. I would say that it's a record of the Spirit-empowered churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Spirit of God came on Pentecost, empowered them to go and be witnesses, we have a record of that. I mentioned this morning that verse 8, if you look at it again, it really outlines the book for us. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We see that in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit comes and empowers them. And then we see how it's outlined. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that really breaks down how the book is broken down. And it gives us that outline of how the gospel is spread into the uttermost part. And tonight we want to see, I mentioned we looked at verse 1 in depth this morning, just that former treatise that was given in tying together Luke with this book. And then we see how Jesus was taken up. And I want you to consider with me those 40 days that are mentioned for just a moment. In verse 3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus, when he rose again, he appeared to them, and it was over a period of 40 days that Jesus appeared to them before he ascended up into heaven that final time, where he is now at the right hand of the Father. He is watching over us, and he is waiting till everything is subdued, till the whole earth becomes his footstool. All of his enemies are made his footstool, and Jesus is coming again. And he's coming in the same way that he went up. It's exactly what we see in the text. But consider those 40 days with me for a few moments. Now, he showed himself alive after his passion. Now, his passion is his death. Some of you a few years ago probably watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And it's a term that's used in Christianity. Maybe we don't use it too often, but the passion is about the death of Jesus Christ. It's what a great word. Because of his passion, because of his love, he gave himself for us. Because of his great love wherewith he loved us, he was willing to suffer and die for us. And after his death, he rose again and he showed himself by many infallible, incontrovertible truths. We have the eyewitness testimony of those faithful witnesses who became martyrs. Remember, we talked about that this morning. That word changed meaning because of those faithful followers of Jesus who gave their lives for preaching the resurrected Savior. They were willing to give everything because they knew it was true and they wouldn't renounce him. So he showed himself alive. And during that time when he appeared to them, he spoke the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he was equipping those disciples and the apostles in particular. He was equipping them and preparing them and giving them his truth, giving them his spirit to prepare them for the time that he was going away. And so he spoke of those things concerning himself. He showed himself alive. And then he told them to wait for his coming. Wait for the promise of the Father that you have heard of me. Jesus said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I don't want you to leave there. I don't want you to leave that place until the promise of the Father comes. The Father has promised the power of the Spirit, and I want you to go and wait. In verse 5, he says, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, we're not going to take the time to look back at it, but you'll remember John the Baptist talked about this, didn't he? When he was questioned, when they questioned John the Baptist, they said, are you the Christ? He said, no, I'm not the Christ. I've declared plainly to you, I am not the Christ. I baptize with water, but he'll baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. Now, this was early in the ministry of Jesus, really when it was just getting started. And now these things are finally coming to pass. It's been about three and a half years since John was preaching. The one who's coming after me is preferred before me. I'm not worthy to tie the latchet or unloose the latchet of his shoe. He is before me. I must decrease. He must increase. I may continue to baptize with water, but he's going to come and baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. And now Jesus is referring back to that. And he says, listen, John, truly he baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost in not many days. And so that would happen in about 10 days from the time of the ascension on the day of Pentecost. Now, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, listen, these men, though many of them were fishermen and they were ignorant and unlearned men, they still knew the prophets. They knew the law. They knew the promises of Messiah. They knew. We talked a little bit about it Wednesday night, and just kind of getting ready for this next Wednesday night. We're back in John chapter 1, and we're talking about witnessing. And listen, these were people who had followed John the Baptist, and they were looking for Messiah. And when they found him, you remember, we looked at it Wednesday night. When Andrew met Jesus, he ran and found Peter, and he said, we found him. We found Messiah. And so they knew about the promises of Messiah. They also knew about how the Word of God in the Old Testament tied together the coming of the power of the Holy Spirit, as in Joel. And we'll look at that in the next chapter. But listen, I just want you to get this. They tied together the power of the Holy Spirit with the coming of Messiah. And so every time they're disappointed,
They thought Messiah was going to come. He was going to kick Rome out. He was going to establish Israel as a great kingdom right there in Israel where they belonged, and they would have a kingdom right there, right then, and right now. And that's what they were looking for. And every time something came around, they were disappointed. And then Jesus died, and they were really disappointed. And they didn't understand the resurrection. So now Jesus is resurrected, and they're thinking, okay, here comes the kingdom, but it's in 40 days, and he still hasn't established his kingdom on earth. And now when Jesus says the Spirit's coming, they're like, okay, this is it, finally. The Spirit's coming. He's going to establish his kingdom. The day has finally arrived. We're going to get rid of these Romans, and it's going to be great. And so they ask him, this is it, right, Lord? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to set up your throne in Jerusalem now? Are you going to kick out these Romans now? And they're disappointed one more time. Because his plan wasn't what their plan was. And can I tell you, so many times, our plans are not what his plans are. And we've got our ideas of how things ought to go. And we got our ideas of how things are going to play out. And it's not for us to know. The same thing rings true for us today. It's not for us to know. It's for us to obey. It's not for us to know. It's for us to go and do what he's commanded us to do. So he says, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. That belongs to God the Father. That's for him to deal with. But you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're worried about this, but I'm going to tell you what you need to worry about. You need to understand, go wait. When the Spirit of God comes on you, he's going to give you power to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. So you don't worry about what I'm going to do with the kingdom. You don't worry about what the Father's going to do with the kingdom. You just do your part in the kingdom. Okay? So we've talked so many times, Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You remember that? Did you kind of nod your head a little bit? Acknowledge you remember that? Be careful. Don't go too deep with those nods, though. You might not come back up. So he talks about power in Matthew 28, but that's a different word for power. And by the way, I think it's important that we understand what the words mean. We have an English translation. I think it's a great English translation, but there are different words in English that come from different words in the Greek. And so we want to understand that. In Matthew 28, when he says, all power is given unto me, it's exousia, it's authority. We would use the word authority most of the time. Jesus said, I have all authority, and I'm giving you a command to go and make disciples of all nations. But here in verse 8, Jesus uses a different word for power. This is dunamis. This is dynamic power. This is the root word for the word we have for dynamite. It's where the word dynamite comes from. So this word is not about authority. This word is about power. This word is about strength. This word is about energy. This word is about ability. So when he's telling them that the Spirit is going to come, he's letting them know, I'm going to give you power, I'm going to give you ability, I'm going to give you energy, I'm going to give you explosive power to go and be witnesses for me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Because I've tried to be a witness in my own power, and it's pathetic. But when we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can have an impact in the world. He never intended for us to do it on our own. He is always ever intended for him to go with us. He is with us always, even to the end of the world. And so we have power to go and be witnesses. And so in the 40 days, while he was with them, he continues to teach them things pertaining to the kingdom. And these final things that he tells them is to go make disciples, baptize those disciples, teach those disciples to observe everything I've commanded you, and you don't have to go alone. I'm going to always be with you. I'm going to come and be a part. So he's given them the promise of the Father, and he wants them to go and wait for that promise. Now, I don't want to take the time to look at all the places we could go, but really John chapter 14, if you look there, John 14 verse 15, John chapter 14, 15 and 16, are really the primary places that Jesus taught in depth about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so let's pull a few verses here just to get a context. Because when Jesus says, I want you to go wait for the promise of the Father, when he says, I want you to go wait for the Holy Spirit, the disciples by this time are starting to, remember, he's given them understanding now. Remember before they were blinded, they didn't understand, they just didn't get it. But remember, now the Lord has started to open their understanding. He's given them the ability to comprehend the scriptures now. And so when he says, go wait for the promise of the Father, when he says, go wait for the Holy Spirit to come, I think that they are starting to remember the things that he taught them, and that's what would be in their hearts and minds. So one of the things they might have remembered, John 14:15, if ye love me, what's it say? Let's try that one more time. If ye love me, that's good, isn't it? It's love and obedience are always linked together. They're always yoked together in God's economy. Love and obedience. If we love, we obey. And if we're not obeying, it's because there's a lack of love. You didn't like to say that part, did you? Yeah, if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. What's it say? I will come to you. Jesus is one with the Father. He's also one with the Spirit. And we understand they're separate. We understand that. But listen, when the Spirit came, that's Jesus. There's a reason we can say Jesus lives in you. It's because he lives in you through his Holy Spirit. And he's saying there's something coming that's going to be different. The Spirit's going to come in a new way. The Spirit's going to come in a different way. And he's going to comfort you, and he's going to be with you forever, and he's going to be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's the promise of the Father. Jump down to verse 25, John 14:25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is with them. He's letting them know that he's going away. But he's saying, listen, don't be sorrowful in your heart, because the Spirit's going to come. This is the promise of the Father. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Comforter, and he will teach you all things. He will bring things to your remembrance. Now listen, I know that these promises were directed to those disciples that were there. I know that God used the apostles in a special way. We understand that, right? The apostles were set aside. They were chosen. They were different. There were requirements on them. They had to physically see Jesus. Listen, if you drive by a church and it says apostolic church today, there are no apostles there. Okay? The only apostles in any church today are on the pages of Scripture. Everybody with me? We need to understand that. People want to claim that title. It doesn't belong to them. It's only those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They were the apostles. And so, and specially called by God. Now, and we'll see more about that next Sunday, but I just want you to get this. They were promised directly that they would remember the things that Jesus spoke to them. But I believe there's a truth that applies to all of us today. The Holy Spirit of God, when you're taught by Jesus, we read that in Ephesians this morning, that you learn of him, and you're taught by Jesus today through his word and through his Spirit. You are taught by Jesus today, and the Spirit of God will bring those things to your remembrance. I know it's true because the Bible says it, but I can testify that it's true because I've experienced it too. I can tell you that there have been times that God has brought his word to my remembrance. Maybe it was a time when I was in great sorrow and his word came to my mind to give me strength. Maybe it was a time when I was trying to be a witness and I don't have the words and I can't think of anything. Like have you ever been in a conversation where you couldn't even come up with your name if you had to? Like I don't know, you lose it all. But the Spirit of God will come and bring his word to remembrance. He'll remind you and guide you. And the Spirit of God is working in us, and that's part of the promise that we have today. And it's all about peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And there are things in this world today that may leave you troubled, and things in this world today that may leave you worried and afraid and without peace, but Jesus sent the Spirit so you would have peace. Jesus sent the Spirit so that you wouldn't be afraid, but you would be filled with faith and with joy and with hope. John chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, verses 26 to 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit would come, and he would allow those who had seen Jesus to be witnesses of Jesus, and they would be able to do that through incredible persecution, and they would be able to do it because the Spirit was with them, and the Spirit was in them, and the Spirit would testify through them. John chapter 16, verse 6. John 16, verse 6. Just a few selections from John 14, 15, 16, just to remind us of the promise of the Father they were waiting for. Verse 6 says, But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. What? Because he's going away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So the promise is the Spirit's going to come, and it is expedient for those disciples that the Spirit goes away, so the Holy Spirit, that Jesus goes away, so the Spirit will come so that he can do his work. When we go and we're witnesses of Jesus, we don't go alone. When we open our mouths and we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is working with us and working through us. And he's doing his work of conviction. He reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When we go out and we talk to people about Christ and we're witnesses of him and his death and resurrection, the Spirit of God works in them. And their response is varied. But listen, I'm just telling you right now, when you start preaching the gospel to some people, they may respond in anger. They may not appreciate it, but that's a response that comes from conviction. Sometimes people are convicted of their sin and because they don't believe, and therefore they get angry in response. But other people respond in a different way. Other people, when they're confronted with the Scriptures and the Spirit of God is convicting them, it brings them to godly sorrow that works repentance unto salvation. And aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for the Spirit of God convicting you? I mean, we don't really like it. Sometimes in the moment. Our flesh certainly doesn't like it. But I am so thankful for the conviction, the reproof of the Holy Spirit of God. And he works in the world while we preach the gospel to show them their sin because of their unbelief, to show them righteousness because the Father, but because Jesus has gone to the Father, and he's going to show them the truth of what righteousness is through the Word of God, because the Word in flesh has ascended to heaven. So we have the Word in writing. We have the Word in preaching, and the Spirit of God shows them what righteousness is through the Spirit of God. That's where righteousness is found, is in Christ, in his Word. And the Spirit reproves the world to show them righteousness and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, because judgment is coming, because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and those who reject Christ will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the Holy Spirit of God brings that conviction. He reproves them of the judgment that's coming, and we have an ally, and that's the promise. Remember, he told them to go wait for the promise of the Father, and they would think about these things that Jesus had said. I'm going to send the Spirit from the Father. So that's the promise that they were to go and wait for. Not only does he reprove, but verse 13 said that he will guide. He guides you into all truth. The Spirit takes the things that the Father wants him to repeat, and he brings them to us through the work of the Spirit in our hearts. Not only that, verse 14 says he glorifies. He glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible warns us to try the spirits, whether they're of God. And there's a few things you can look at here. Just in the passage we looked at. Is it a spirit that reproves of sin and righteousness and judgment? Is it a spirit that guides into truth? Is it a spirit that helps lead you into the Word of God? Or is it a spirit that takes you away from God to experiences? Is it a spirit that takes you away from the Bible to another book? Everybody with me? Is it a spirit that glorifies Jesus? Or is it a spirit that glorifies self or glorifies some other man? Because I'm here to tell you that if it's a spirit that doesn't reprove of sin, if it doesn't bring somebody to repentance and godly sorrow, that's not the Spirit of God. If it's a spirit that tells you that you're wonderful and you don't need to change and you're perfect just the way you are, that's not the Spirit of God. He works to make us like Jesus. If it's a spirit that doesn't guide into truth, if it's a spirit that doesn't funnel you down into the Word of God, if it takes you in a different direction to another book or another teaching or another way, that's not the Spirit of God. If it's a spirit that glorifies self or glorifies some other man, if it doesn't point to Jesus, that's not the Spirit of God. And we ought to try the spirits, because I want you to understand there are spirits, many, that are working in the world today. And don't be surprised that these spirits are transformed into angels of light. Remember, Lucifer was an angel of light. He was a beautiful angel. And he had all kinds of glory in heaven that he was supposed to reflect to God. And he didn't. He took that glory for himself. And there are a lot of spirits at work in this world today. Spirits that are anti-Christ. And yet they stand in the name of Jesus. Listen, you think that just because they say the name Jesus that they can't be antichrist, but I would just challenge you to read what the demons say. They have no problem saying the name of Jesus. They have no problem saying that he's the Son of God, and yet they do it in mockery. And you just need to be careful. Try the spirits. We know the Spirit was coming. That was the promise that they were waiting for. And so they were waiting. During that 40 days, he was pointing them to the coming of the Holy Spirit. During his ministry, in his life, he had told them that the Spirit was coming, and during the 40 days he was reminding them, and he said, I want you to go wait, because power is coming from the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to back up in Acts chapter 1 verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he chose those apostles, he gave them commandments, and he did that from the day he rose again until the day he ascended up into heaven. Now jump down in our text to verse 9. Acts 1 and verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said also, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now, just real quick, who do you suppose these men in white apparel were? They were angels. And where do you suppose they came from? They came down from heaven when Jesus went up into heaven. Now, I don't know if they were seen coming down the way Jesus was seen. Jesus was seen taken up. Basically, he flew up into heaven. He just levitated up into heaven. Okay? Everybody with me? This is a very serious occasion. Jesus has his apostles gathered around. He's giving them the final commandments. He's telling them to go back to Jerusalem, wait for the power of the Spirit to come. And remember, they've got this anticipation. They would go back to Jerusalem with joy from this moment. But when Jesus is ascending up into heaven, floating away until he disappears into a cloud, angels appear next to them, and the angels say, why are you standing up, staring up into heaven? Where else would they be looking? Where would you be looking? Jesus just floated up into a cloud. I'm just here to tell you, they had never seen anything like that before. Jesus speaks to them these final words, go, wait, I'm going away. I've been telling you this day was coming, and now here it is. And he just floats up into heaven. Can you imagine what that was like? You can't help but not think about it, though, right? Have any of you ever been to the Passion Play in Eureka Springs? You've been there? You've seen the guy on the wire? Some of you have seen different movies and things, and it's hard not to let those things get in your mind, isn't it? I'll just tell you this, you couldn't see the cable. There's no wire that you could see. I hate so bad that I've seen things like that because they mess you up. They'll put things in your mind that aren't actually in the pages of Scripture. I'll let Ben tell you more about that later. I know you guys probably get tired of it, but I want to think about these things. It was real. You know, there were times that Jesus just appeared in the room, right? And I've wondered about that. Did he just appear out of thin air like he wasn't there and then he was there? Or did he walk through the wall? You know, when they were in the upper room, the door was shut. It was locked up. The room was locked up. They were afraid. The doors were barred. Did he walk through the wall? Or did he just appear in the room and then disappear? When he disappeared, was there a cloud of smoke? Was there a flash of light? Like when he went up into heaven, what did he do? Did he look up to the Father? Did he look down at his disciples? Did he go fast? Did he go slow? I wonder. And I know all of you in your mind, you got this picture that his arms are outstretched and there's probably angels singing in the background and light shining on him. I have no idea what it was like. But I think it's hilarious that the angels say, hey, what are you guys looking up there for? Where do you think they would be looking? Angels coming down, Jesus going up. I love the fact that they were still looking at Jesus where he was instead of looking at the angels. You know, most of the time when angels appear in the Bible, they get a lot of attention. A lot of times when angels appear, they get worshipped as God. When angels appear, people fall on their face and they're afraid. But when Jesus was ascending and these angels appear, they don't even get noticed. Isn't that good? Hey, listen, we ought to be having our eyes on Jesus, looking steadfastly toward him. Yes, we ought to be busy about the work he wants us to do. Why are you staring up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I want you to know something today. Jesus is coming again. And it's not for us to know the time or the season, but he is coming again. And he is going to come in the very same way that he went. He was taken up into heaven and a cloud received him out of their sight. In other words, he went up into heaven and disappeared behind a cloud. And one day he's going to come with the clouds, with the saints, and he's going to come again. He's coming again. Jesus told them these things were going to happen. In Luke 24, verse 44. And we'll end with this passage tonight. Luke 24, 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. All of these things are to fulfill scriptures. We see what Christ came to do. We see what he began to do and to teach. And we see that that would continue after the Holy Spirit of God came. I think that we need to search the scriptures to understand the Spirit of God. I think we need to recognize that we cannot hope to do the work that he's called us to do without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life every day. And may we, by the grace of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. And we do that by dying to ourselves. We die to ourselves. We yield ourselves to him. We submit our lives to him, every part. Don't hold anything back. And we will be filled with the Spirit of God so we can have his power to do the work he's called us to do. Tonight I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We do want to have a time of invitation. While they're coming, will you stand with me, please? The disciples weren't always quick to obey, but here they did. When he said, go to Jerusalem, they went back to Jerusalem. When he said, wait for the Spirit, they waited on the Spirit. When he said, when the Spirit comes, he's going to give you power and I want you to be witnesses, the Spirit came and gave them power and they were witnesses. You know, I believe that God gives us choices to be obedient or disobedient. And we know that we have the same command to go and preach the gospel, to go and make disciples in the power of the Spirit of God. But we have to make choices. When he says go, we need to go. When he says witness, we need to witness. And so I just want to challenge you tonight as he convicts your heart that we would submit ourselves, be obedient to him, ask him to help us, give us the power of the Spirit so we can be faithful in the work that he's called us to do. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.